really grateful to see you tonight, and if you're visiting with us, we're grateful you're here tonight. Hope you can come back. And we're going through the Bible, and we're looking at some of the responsibilities of husbands and some of the responsibilities of wives. And we're just looking at God's design for the home. And tonight, my purpose is to focus on some of the responsibilities of the wife. We've already seen some of it last week as far as submission, but I'm going to focus tonight on, you know, the Bible says that the wife is a helpmate for the man, so I'm going to focus on that. And then maybe if I have time, we'll focus on that one of reverence as well. So if you don't mind, let us go to our Father in prayer before we begin tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for giving us the opportunity to be here. Our Father, help us realize everything you give us, Father, and help us realize that you had allowed us to be here tonight to study your scriptures as a family of faith, as brothers and sisters. Help us encourage each other, Father. Help us learn together and help us learn from your scriptures and also be diligent in applying what we learn and be diligent in being able to use it for ourselves, Father, and maybe have the opportunity to teach it to somebody else, Father. Thank you for the role that we have in the godly home, and help us strive to be godly people, godly husbands, godly wives, and those who are single to be able to become one day a godly husband and or a godly wife, and if it's your will to become parents as well, Father, help us be wise parents, make good decisions, be good role models, and give security to our children, Father. Thank you for those who have provided for us as we grew up as well. Our parents, bless them as well, Father. Give them strength and wisdom in the decisions they make, Father. And Father, we're so grateful for every blessing you have given us, Father. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so on Sunday, we looked at the responsibilities of the husband, that of laboring, leading, and what was the third one? Laboring, leading, and loving. Okay, I don't want to forget that one. All right, so coming to the wife, there's several responsibilities, and I'm going to put them again under an umbrella with three labels. One of the responsibilities of the woman is that of assisting her husband. And this, I think about this assisting, and I'm going to frame it in a physical sense, in material sense. You know, we have that of admiring, which is one of reverence, and that goes into emotional aspect. So we have physical, emotional, and then we have spiritual, when the wife is to accept or follow the leadership of the husband. So we have those three, and we can make it into more, but I'm going to put them in those three just for an outline sake. But physically, beginning in Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 18, we remember this statement made by the Lord and recorded by Moses when in Genesis 2:18, and then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Or the King James Version says, "A helper meet for him." Okay, so we see here the need, not good for the man to be alone. And I kind of debate, and it seems more maybe clearer as we read it here. I will make him, notice, the woman was made for the man. That's what 1 Corinthians 11:8 says. And then in 1 Timothy 2:13 says that the Adam was created first and then Eve. So we have here that God created the woman for the man. So the one who has this responsibility of being a helper will be the woman in this case. And this is what the word says. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then in that same chapter in verse 20, after Adam is naming all the animals, the birds of the air and every beast of the field, and then again we see there that for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. So Adam was going to be the head, and then Eve was going to be the helper. So that's clear in the Bible right off the bat, right in the first verses. But what does it mean, being a helper? In which sense? Well, we have, for example, different aspects in which the woman can be a helper. And I'm going to mention some of those as we have time. But for example, one of the responsibilities in which the woman complements a husband, or the wife complements a husband, is by desiring motherhood and bearing children. See, the women have this natural ability given by God providentially to be able to bear children, okay, and to be mothers, to nurture them in ways men have to learn how to do, where for the woman is something natural that you have. So one way to be this helper is by being by desiring motherhood and bearing children. And we understand that not everybody can bear children, but in general, when things are good, are okay, women are capable of bearing children. That is the gift of God. So in 1 Timothy 2:15, we remember when Paul is speaking about the role of man and woman, and how the woman should not usurp the authority of the man. We have there a significant phrase, or an interesting phrase, concerning this desire to have children. Notice in 1 Timothy 2:15, but she shall be saved through what? Through childbearing. Okay, childbearing. Something that belongs to the woman. Okay, and then again in 1 Timothy 5:14, in a couple of chapters, that same letter, we're going to see what Paul requires of the younger widows. Younger widows, what are they supposed to do? Well, you can take care of the older widow if she fulfills certain characteristics. But younger widows are a command for them to get married in 1 Timothy 5:14. Therefore, I desire the younger widows marry and then bear children. And then we're going to look at manage the house in a little bit, but bear children is right there in that verse. So we have at least three verses right now that we've written on childbearing. Okay, very beautiful. If you want to go with me to Psalm 128, and I found this very, very exciting. In Psalm 128, we have the picture of a man who is blessed. Now we know that childbearing, it's a matter of a decision of the couple. Couple might decide to have children or not. That's their decision. But we have a picture here painted of the blessed man and the blessed woman. And look, let's take a look at what they look like. What's a blessed man and a blessed woman? Notice Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Okay? When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Notice the responsibility of the man. When this man is going to eat from where? From the labor of his hands. We saw that one of the responsibilities of the husband was to labor. Okay, we see the section of a man. Okay, a blessed man is going to be able to eat what he works, his labor, the fruit of his labor. Now, verse 3, what about the wife? Well, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Notice, your children like olive plants all around your table. So a blessed family, a blessed home, is going to be one where the husband fulfills his role and the wife fulfills her role, and they both have children. This is a blessed home. And this is no secret. We know that children bring blessings. Blessings from the Lord. Blesses the man who has his quiver full of those arrows, which are children. So we see that a blessed family has children. And that's one of the beauties of the home, being able to have no offspring, to bear children. Some have more children than others, and that's for sure. But that's the beauty of it. being able to have children. So we see here again the blessings of that man. And then we see the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, that woman that spoken of on the last chapter of Proverbs. Notice in Proverbs 31, verse 28, we see that she also has children, because her children raise up and call her blessed. In fact, one of the roles of her being a mother is taking care of her children. So we see here that this is one of the ways that a woman can assist the husband by being the one who desires to be a mother and also to bear children. And this is something unique. You remember, for instance, Rachel, thinking about some examples. What was Rachel's desire? Let's see if I got the Bible reference correct. Genesis 30 verse 1. Just want to make sure I don't have the wrong one. But Genesis 30 verse 1. Notice, and it came to pass, Now Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, and Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Okay? So she was envious of her sister, and she didn't have any children, but she wanted children. She wanted to become a mother, to the point that she said, "Give me children or else I die." She wanted children. She wanted to be in motherhood. She desired it. And she saw other who had children, but she didn't have any. And she felt bad about it, because she wanted to have children. And then we know the rest of the story about it and concerning Rachel. There was another woman we read about in the Bible that she desired with all of her heart to have a son. You remember who she is? And then who was? Yes, and then she said, if I conceive and have a son, I'm going to come back and bring it to you and dedicate it to the Lord. And that son, was born. His name was Samuel. Correct. Very good. So we have here a couple of women. We're reading the Bible. I'm thinking about, for example, in the book of Ruth. In fact, Ruth, when she met, but Ruth also conceived as soon as she got married, and they had a son named Boaz, okay, who was the grandfather of David. So we have here several examples of mothers who want to have children. So should a woman, and I think this may be but should a woman decide, "Well, I don't want to have children because I want to give priority to my career"? Would that be a good choice from a Christian woman, can we say, from what we see in the Bible? I would say it's being, according to what we just read, that is a blessing. I think a woman has a priority to have those children and raise them and be able to be a mother and be able to enjoy the full, all of the blessings of marriage. And that's been one of them. But that's something we need to consider, think about. Because that's what society tells us. That's the reason I bring it up. Society tells us that there's more important things. You are more important than anything else. Doesn't matter. Not even your husband or being a mother or anything else. That's what society tells us. And we need to have scripture to know what to do concerning those type of thoughts. Okay, any comments so far? All right, okay, very good. So it's important this point, desiring motherhood and be able to bear children. That's another one. When we're talking about assisting, being a helpmeet for the man, it also has to do with being oriented domestically, with being an overseer of the home, of the house. This is another quality. And we, for example, in Titus 2:5, Titus 2:5, we haven't read, but in Titus 2:5 it says that the older women need to teach the younger women to be discreet, chaste, and then homemakers. Okay, it's important quality. Homemakers. And then he continues to write, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. Notice, all of these qualities are discreet, chaste, homemakers, that's the one we're looking at, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. So, in other words, we give an opportunity, we give an open door for the word of God to be blasphemed when women choose something else besides being discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. We give an opportunity for the word of God to be blasphemed by the conduct of the wives. So we have here an example of how, of what women need to do. Now thinking about, for example, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus is preaching on the destruction of the temple and the second coming, they mention two women grinding at the mill. You see, these two women were homemakers. They were working at home. And then, for example, in the parable of Luke 15, we see several parables, but there's one parable of a woman sweeping the house. She's sweeping the house. Luke 15. Okay? She's in the home, and she's sweeping the house. Notice, for instance, more specifically, concerning homemaking, we have Proverbs 31, and this one is going to give us a lot of details concerning the role of woman in homemaking. I don't want to miss... Okay, I'll have it later. Okay, in Proverbs 31, notice, for instance, in verse 27, notice what the woman, this virtuous woman does. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. Okay? And does not eat bread of idleness. So she's watching over the ways of her household. She's a homemaker. And then later in we already read 1 Timothy 5:14 that the younger widows should marry, bear children, and notice, manage the house. Okay? And this just makes sense. If the husband's responsibility is to go out and be the breadwinner, and let's say this man hunts for a living and he needs to go find an animal to kill. Now he has to leave the home. He has to be away for quite some time. We don't know. Now who's going to take care of whatever is back home? Okay, well, of course, maybe we can put a lock and just leave. But then if it starts getting dust or things like that, who's going to get the food ready or so on and so forth? You know the picture. So it just makes sense. Someone goes out, someone watches for the goods of the home. Especially if there's children. That's more importantly. So we have this picture. So this woman, the virtuous woman, she watches over the ways of her household. Now notice, in which way does she take care of her house? Notice in chapter 31, let's see, verse 15, we see here that she is a cook. Notice, for instance, verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So she is on top of the nurturing, physical nurturing of the household. Children, and in this case, maidservants, and all the household. Doesn't matter what time of the day it is. She raises and makes sure they're fed. So she's on top of cooking. That's part of being domestically oriented in this sense. Now, not only that, notice, for example, verse 21, she also provides. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Okay, and then it makes me think of, for instance, about Nancy. For instance, we have two young boys. And as soon as it gets cold, they're not going to leave the house without a good jacket or good sweater or a good hat. Something that will keep them warm. And I cannot leave the house without a sweater, because she's going to say, are you bringing a sweater? Do you forget your sweater? See? Okay, someone who's providing, making sure these children right here, they're not going to be cold or hot or whatever. So she's making sure they're well clothed, provided for physically. Now notice something else she does. You know, some women like to sew, to, what is the word, to use the needle and thread. Notice, for instance, this woman is a seamstress. Notice verse 19. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Alright? Now verse 22. What does she do? What does she do? What does she do? She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Okay? Verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. We get the idea, okay? She is industrious in the home. She likes to, she is what the word is, seamstress, okay? She likes to do this type of work, this virtuous woman. Okay? Not only that. Yet another job. See, for this, for a man, this will be just hard enough for us to do. Okay, now, yet one more job. Verse 16. She's a gardener too. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard. Okay, so she plants. Everything that goes along with a vineyard has to go here. Not only planting it, but nurturing, watering, trimming it, and so on and so forth. She takes care of the vineyard. She's a gardener. Okay? And not only that, I was thinking something else, something that came to my mind about lawn mowing. But that's something different, okay? I'm not saying the woman should mow the lawns when the husband can, okay, by saying that she's a gardener. But notice all the responsibilities she has at home. Notice also verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. So she's also a shopper. She knows how to buy, where to buy, okay? And she knows the best thing to buy for the house, okay? And then not only that, notice verse 26. You see all the jobs of women, when we say household, there's no way we can think someone sitting on a chair, reading a book, doing nothing, okay? That's impossible. If the society wants us to make believe that, that's not true. Okay, we understand from the Bible that there's so many facets women are capable of doing. And then notice one more. What happens when the children are... See, boys like to be with dads because we throw the ball, we kick the ball, and we are rude, we wrestle, and so on. Oh, and they love that. But as soon as the boy falls down, hits his head, where is he going to go? He's going to go to mom right away. As soon as the girl has a problem at school, as soon as the boy has trouble with friends, or he's being, I don't know, some group of his classmates are being bullies or whatever, he's going to come to mom. They're going to come to mom. And that's what the mom does. She's a counselor also. She has to listen, sit down, give advice, and listen to all of what they say. Notice verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Okay? Mom giving advice. Mom listening to children. Mom being a counselor. That's what she is. And then because she has to listen to all of this and carry with the problems of her children, she also is a burden bearer. She has their burdens on her back as well. Okay, so this is one of the ways a woman assists her husband. Okay, by being domestically oriented, in this case, a homemaker. Managers of the house. Okay, and there's so many things that have to do with the house. And this is a blessed home with a wife and a husband. Okay, nowadays there's a feminine revolution and women think they're looked down onto if they are domestically oriented. And that's what the world has made us believe. Okay? But we see this is a full-time job. This requires a lot of time, a lot of wisdom, a lot of characteristics. This is not easy. So then the world tells us, no, you need to look out for yourself. You need to be independent. You need to do this and that and be the boss of your home, and don't worry about even getting pregnant. You're going to mess up your body and things like that. And that's, we need to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says concerning the role of women in this regard. Okay? So that's another characteristic of a godly wife. Yes, Anna, please. Yes. Yeah, they're in training. They're being prepared. This is the premarital counseling, I would say. The home, the natural, established by God, where we learn growing up who to look for and who to be and who to look for. Because it's very interesting how in a godly home, and this can apply maybe in any type of home, but usually the boy looks up to mom and dad, and he wants to be like that when he grows up, and he wants to look for a wife that has the characteristics of his mom. Okay, he might not settle for anything less. And sometimes when the bar is so low in those families, that's why they look for someone. See, a daughter of an abused home, she might marry an abuser. Or a daughter of a alcoholic father, she won't have any trouble marrying someone who's alcoholic. See what I'm saying? Because that's the bar. That's the example we set. So we set a bar high, then we have more opportunities for our children to look for someone with those characteristics. Someone who, a woman who is industrious, responsible at home, who raises her children, who respects her husband and so on. So we give more opportunity for children to do so when we give them an example. So daughter will look for a man that has some of the characteristics of her dad. And then that's part of what life is. Okay, so that's very good point, Anna. Thank you. Yes. Exactly. So what the world looks down into, the Bible uplifts. Okay? The responsibility of a home, of the mother in the home. Now another thing that is important for me to mention is that a good helper or assistant of the husband, like we just read here, is a wife who is industrious. She's gonna be busy doing something at home. But is she also would not be indolent or what's the word, to handle poorly the things that are brought home. See, and this is, I don't know if this rings a bell or you know someone like this, but sometimes there's wives who like to spend as much as they can. And they like to live in a high standard. And then more than the husband or the general income can afford. Okay, and I have a friend. As a matter of fact, both of them were my friends. And then the man is a humble man, and he wants to marry this woman, but she was raised in a higher standard by her parents, and she continued to live in that higher standard, wanted to live like that, to the point that this man, he thought, he said, well, I'm not going to be able to keep up with her way of living. I'm not going to be able to satisfy her the way she's used to. I'm just going to step away. I'm just going to give up. And that's what happened. He just gave up because of the attitude of his former girlfriend. So we need to keep in mind some of these aspects when we talk about the home. Okay, if a husband who doesn't provide for the home is worse than an infidel, what about the wife who, when the husband provides, just gets rid of everything he provided? Would she be worse than an infidel too? Probably so. Just using that same logic. So that's important to keep in mind also in this society. Maybe here as a group of Christians, we are not familiar with this type of attitude, but that's something that happens in the world, and that's for sure. Okay, some trying to live beyond your means. Okay, putting everything on credit, everything on credit, everything on credit, and that's not good for the home. So it's important for both, of course, but in this case, talking about the wife, to keep it in mind. Yes. Mm-hmm, correct, I agree. Thank you for that comment, appreciate it. Yes, definitely. So it's something to keep in mind, definitely, when talking about the godly home. And that's something the Bible gives us, this example on the godly woman, this virtuous woman, on Proverbs 31. Okay, then another way in which a woman is assisting her husband is, of course, Bible speaks about beauty with no apology, because beauty, God made things beautiful. Okay? Women are beautiful, according to the Bible. And for instance, you remember when Jacob married Rachel? Okay? The Bible says that Rachel was beautiful in her appearance. And that's something that Jacob liked. He was appealed by the beauty of Rachel. And that's normal. I wouldn't imagine Adam and Eve being, I wouldn't imagine Eve specifically being not other than beautiful, being the mother of all. Okay, so it's normal, but it's important also for women to take pride in keeping themselves physically attractive. Okay, it's important for the relationship. Remember, men are visual. We're visual in general, so attractiveness and woman keeping themselves attractive is part of the responsibilities of the home. Of course, some of them, I don't want to say all of them because some of them are specifically for women, but can be applied to men, so I'm not trying to be unfair. Okay, men need to be taking care of themselves as well. But women, especially when their husbands are visually oriented, need to keep themselves pretty. Okay, just like when we met. Okay? For instance, the woman in the Bible, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, she was beautiful. Okay? The Bible says, and to the point that Abimelech spied on them one time, and he saw how Isaac was being dear to Rebecca. Okay? That's when he found out that they were husband and wife. Okay, so there's examples in the Bible. For example, when God speaks of the church of Israel, spiritual Israel, He uses the metaphor of a beautiful bride. Okay, in the Bible. Now let me read to you this section. Notice Isaiah 61:10, talking about beauty. Okay, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Okay, we see here a bridal groom. Okay, and then in Jeremiah 2:32 also speaks about this way the virgins dressed. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people had forgotten me days without number. Okay? So we see here the way the woman dresses. Okay? And then Proverbs 31:22, like we read just a few minutes ago on this virtuous woman. Can a virgin, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Okay, notice these types of dresses, you didn't have to show your body to be beautiful. There's no way this type of dresses mentioned here in the Bible, bride and groom, you see, all cover up. That's beautiful. Okay, in the sight of God, and it should be beautiful in our sight. Nowadays, again, the world tells us beautiful is whoever shows more. What the word tells us. Okay, it's just round. But the Bible tells us you don't have to show anything to be considered beautiful. Okay? So let's not follow that trend of the world. And then, usually, and you can put this on my opinion, when the more the woman wants to show, that's what she has. That's all she has. That means there's no inner qualities. Because if someone is dressed all the way to the neck, and she's beautiful, it's because she really is beautiful, what you can see, and she's also beautiful from inside. The way she thinks, the way she speaks, the way she behaves, the decision she makes, she is beautiful inside, and that's what appeals at the end. That's what appeals, and that's what should appeal us. Beautiful outside, and then beautiful inside. So that's important, okay? So, this example, for instance, consider Proverbs 31:30. Before I forget this, Proverbs 31:30, right at the end there, notice, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Okay, beauty is important, yes. It is important, but let's not just lose the perspective. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's important. Beauty and a woman who fears the Lord, that's it. Okay? That's what these godly women wear. Okay? So that's important. And also, I have here a list, for instance, in which other way can a woman assist the husband? I put here, by being attentive to little things. Okay? Women are really, they can look at details more than men can, usually. Okay? More women can sometimes multitask, look at details. But what type of details? Well, for instance, I was thinking of something that happened to me. But let me, for instance, slipping your arms into his, okay, the woman into the husband's arms, or maybe a pat on the hand, or an extra hug, okay, to the husband of encouragement, or sometimes a woman can invite a wife can invite the husband's parents to eat without his suggestion. It's a detail that is very much appreciated. Or maybe waiting at the door to greet him when he comes back from work or wherever he is. Or maybe empathizing with him. Or you know you're tired. Okay, sit down. I'm going to be here to help you. And so on and so forth. Sometimes baking his favorite pie. That's something, that's a detail that a woman can pay attention to be a help for the man. And then, you know, there's many things, maybe like saying, I love you, or maybe saying thanks when he opens the door, or maybe kissing him when he leaves the house, or kissing him when he returns, and so on and so forth. Many, many small details that women can pay attention to be a helpmeet for the husband. Okay? And like I said, this can apply also to the men, but I'm trying to specify it for the husband. Sometimes a woman can give him a call or send him a text as well, telling them, something happy, something bright to help them during their day. Okay, so far we've seen one of the responsibilities of women is that of assisting. Okay? And I put it this way. Assisting is one, being a helpmate. Then admiring is the second one. And this is emotional. Okay? We might spend some time on Sunday or maybe next week on Wednesday on this admiring section. Okay, and the last one is accepting, in other words, accepting the leadership of the husband. Okay, so we have here being a helpmate, reverence to the husband, and then following the leadership of the husband. Okay, if we think about it, if we look at a marriage in problems, okay, we can boil it down to one of these three, maybe a combination of two of them, maybe all of them. Woman who is not being responsible at home. A woman who is not respecting or reverencing her husband, or a woman who is not following the lead of the husband. She wants to be the boss. She wants to do the things in the home. These three categories can hurt the home so much, okay, that in fact, a lot of marriages out there in the world, they're lacking one of these legs of the stool, okay? And that's when the marriage suffers. Same thing can be said about husband. When a husband is not leading, not loving, or not laboring, also hurt the home. So any comments before we finish tonight? I'll tell you a story. You've been good tonight with me. I'll tell you a story. Hopefully this will get you smiling Okay? You know, I have an industrious wife. And please don't tell her that I told you this. If you're going to tell her, I won't tell you the story. But the washing machine broke. And she called a friend. And she inquired about someone who can fix it. And she said, well, no, that's probably too much. So before I knew it, she had the washing machine open, unscrewed, motor on the floor, and she found the issue. All I did was, I was some socks, little socks from Nathan, and then all I did was help her get the sock out of there with some pliers, put it back together, and in fact, she assembled it back together and everything. I mean, of course, I helped her, yes, but she was the leader in that project. Washing machine, as a matter of fact, is better than before. Okay? So, don't tell her I told you this, because she wants to keep it secret, because there's no need knowing that we have a washer and fixer available. But she did that. And that's something you can see of a virtuous woman, godly wife, I would say, and I'm grateful for that. Okay, and I told you the story because it doesn't have to be with me, it's her, that's why. If it was me, I wouldn't tell you, because, so it doesn't matter what I do. But thank you for your time, God bless you.